The reading today, I don't know where it's taken from, I should know, but it is actually the healing at the pool. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." And at once the man was cured, and he did pick up his mat and walked. May God add his blessing to these words. Amen.
Thank you. So, as you've heard, my name is Caroline. I work for Hope Into Action Portsmouth. And our mission as we're a small local charity, our mission is to see churches ending homelessness and to partner with churches to empower them to do that. And we are so grateful that Caution Baptist Church is one of those churches that partners with us in that mission. I think that's, is the, cool. I'm going to start by inviting somebody to come up and talk a little bit about their experience of being part of Hope Into Action. Cameron, would you mind coming up to the front again? It was so lovely this morning to hear about this church's heart for mission, to hear about the people going to spread Jesus' love in Romania, and then to see half of the church empty out to go out into the children's groups as the leaders share Jesus' love with those children and help them to grow in faith. And we're going to talk now about how members of this church are sharing Jesus' love in a local context with people who've experienced homelessness. So, Cameron, hopefully this works, yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about how you came to be living in a Hope Into Action house?
Well, from being homeless, obviously, but yeah, I was homeless back in December time, and I actually asked Simon if the church had any support, and they gave me your contact.
Brilliant. So it's just so lovely when somebody comes to the church for help and the church is able to do something active to really get involved. So you moved into a Hope Into Action house, was it just before Christmas, I think? I can't remember now.
Just after.
Just after Christmas. And can you tell me, let's start with the bad stuff, what's the worst thing about living in a Hope Into Action house?
Having to adapt to living with somebody else who has a different way of things and a routine than you.
Mm. Yeah, so the Hope Into Action houses are shared accommodation, aren't they? And it is hard sharing with somebody, as any of us who share accommodation with somebody else, be they related to us or not. It is hard, isn't it? What's the best thing about living in the Hope Into Action house?
The support. Being off the street and having a place to stay, and it's local to the church as well.
Mm, yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about the support you've had while you've been living in the house?
I get help with food, the support of being housed in general, and having a place to sleep and a home to go to.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. And you have support from a member of the Hope Into Action team, don't you? And then you have some volunteers from the church who are also supporting you as well. So it's helping you with some of the really positive changes you've been making in your life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you tell us just in a few words what has Hope Into Action done for you?
Saved me from homelessness. It kept me off the streets.
Yeah. Do you have any idea if you hadn't moved in with Hope Into Action, how things might have gone for you? Do you know? Hard to tell.
Yeah, hard to tell, but yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you, Cameron. Is it okay if I just pray for you briefly now? Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. Father God, we thank you for Cameron. We thank you for his courage. And we thank you for his faith. And we pray for him as he makes some really positive changes in his life and moves forward to build a strong future. We pray that his faith would grow. And we pray that for this trip to Romania that he would learn and listen and be able to share your love with the people there and that it would deepen his faith and his trust in you. Amen. Thank you, Cameron. Portsmouth has one of the highest rates of homelessness of any local authority in the UK. And we at Hope Into Action are so passionate about the church being part of the answer to that problem. And I'm here to thank you as a church for being part of the answer and to encourage you. And to unpack a little bit about what the Bible says about how to get alongside people in their time of need and how the Bible inspires us in our work at Hope Into Action. When I tell people that I work for a homeless charity, the conversation often turns to how should we respond when we see somebody who's rough sleeping or when we hear that somebody is experiencing homelessness. People wonder, is it helpful or not to give money to people who are on the streets? What if they use their money to feed a drug habit? What if they're not genuinely homeless? What if they're part of organised begging gangs? Would it be safe if I stopped to talk with them? And what if I just don't have enough time? On a short walk through the city centre in Portsmouth or any other city in the UK, really, we might see many people huddled in shop doorways and sleeping bags. We can't help everyone. So where do we start? These are difficult questions. And as Christians, we wrestle with a desire to help and a concern about what actually is helpful in these situations. And as I think about these tricky questions, I'm often reminded of the scene at the Pool of Bethesda from this morning's reading, which is from John chapter 5. The story of Jesus responding to a man in need on a Saturday in Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago speaks to us today about how to respond lovingly to people in need. And as followers of Jesus, this story shows us that there are things for all of us to lay down and things for us to take up. The first thing that strikes me is that from the crowd of people at the Pool of Bethesda that day, one person was healed by Jesus. Apparently, it was believed that when the water in the pool was stirred up, which might have happened from a thermal spring nearby, the first person who got into the pool, once the water got bubbly, would be healed. This meant that the pool had become a gathering place for people in desperate need with a range of different disabilities. Presumably, Jesus could have healed them all that day, but he didn't. He healed one man from among the crowd. When we're faced with all the needs of the world around us, when we watch the news or we walk through a city centre, we can feel helpless. We don't know where to start, so sometimes we just don't do anything. Or maybe we distance ourselves from people in need to protect ourselves from feeling overwhelmed. But Jesus didn't avoid the area around the Pool of Bethesda. He went there. And Jesus shows us here in this reading that it's worth doing something. Even if we can only help one person this time, or even if it's only helping in a way that feels like something quite small, it's still worth doing. As we follow Jesus' example, we may need to lay down our fears about getting involved, our preconceived ideas, and our what-if questions. And we may need to take up the courage to step outside of our comfort zone, a willingness to get involved and do something, and the compassion that Jesus showed to all who he met. At the Pool of Bethesda, Jesus saw a man who had been suffering for years, and he stopped to talk. And I'm struck by the question Jesus asked the man, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well?" It might seem like an odd question to ask. The man had been ill for 38 years. Surely there was no need to ask. Of course he'd want to be made well. But maybe it's not such a surprising question. After being disabled for so long, the man would have settled into a pattern of life around his disability. Being made well would have involved significant change, laying down and leaving behind that lifestyle. Change is risky and costly, and people struggle to break out of very difficult circumstances for all sorts of complicated reasons. When someone's trapped in an abusive relationship or gripped by addiction, it can be difficult to see a way out, to lay down the strange kind of security that can be found at the rock bottom, to find the courage to risk what they have left and take up the hope that things might be different. The man at the pool expressed a desire for change, but then he described how the odds were stacked against him. He believed that if he could just get into the pool in time when the waters were stirred up, he could be healed. But he had no one to help him get into the pool. "I have no one to help me," he said. And this resonates with the stories I hear from people we work with through Hope into Action. Whether it's someone who lost their home when they escaped from an abusive relationship and their perpetrator kept the house, or maybe a young person who's grown up in a series of different children's homes and foster placements and then being left to fend for themselves at the age of 18 by an overstretched care system, the odds seem to be stacked against them. And like the man at the Pool of Bethesda, they don't have someone to help them get the support they need. Like this man, people we work with at Hope into Action experience relational poverty. Homelessness is about more than a poverty of resources, like not having a place to live or money for rent. It's also about relational poverty. People find themselves with nowhere to go because they have no one to turn to. And that's why, through Hope into Action and our church partners, we seek to build around our tenants a supportive group of people who take time to build relationships, to listen, to pray, and to be there for our tenants. But for our tenants, choosing to work with us to change their situation will often involve leaving behind old patterns and laying down experiences of being hurt or harmed and let down by people who were supposed to help. And then it will involve taking up hope that things might be different, choosing to trust and build new relationships. The man at the Pool of Bethesda didn't seem to know who Jesus was. And we don't know much about this man. We don't even know his name. And we don't know what had happened in his past or why he was there by himself by the pool with no one to help him. So there's a lot that we don't know, but we do know that Jesus had compassion on him. And Jesus poured out his healing grace, simply saying to him, "Stand up, take your mat and walk." "Stand up, take your mat and walk," Jesus said, and the man did just that. It must have taken faith to stand up on legs which hadn't worked for him for 38 years. But he laid down any doubts he had and he left behind the life he'd known for so long. He chose hope and he found the courage to trust and take up his mat, and he did begin to walk. As I picture this man carrying his mat and walking out of his life of disability and into his new future, I'm reminded of someone arriving in a Hope into Action house. Someone who's stepping into a new life, leaving behind some stuff and bringing other stuff with them. Some tenants travel light, and some of them, when they move in, arrive carrying all of their possessions in a couple of bags. But when I helped one woman move in from a hostel, it took us 3 trips in my car to move all her belongings. The staff at the hostel had bundled everything that should belong to her into a load of black sacks, which had been bundled into a downstairs bathroom ready for us to collect. At first, as I ferried all of these bags backwards and forwards across Portsmouth, I was surprised that someone who was homeless had so much stuff. But later, I realised that after years of struggling to meet her basic needs, she tends to accumulate what she can find and hold on to what she has. A week after moving in, the black saps had been emptied out and there was an explosion of clothes and toiletries in her living room, leaving nowhere for us to sit during our weekly chats. But she gradually sorted through the clutter, and a kind of order slowly emerged from the chaos as she chose what to lay down and let go of and what to take up and hold on to. And that for me was like a picture of a tenant's journey through Hope into Action. Tenants bring with them so much more than bags and belongings. Many bring experiences of childhood trauma and neglect, relationship breakdown, mental health issues. And then as we build trusting relationships, our tenants start to feel safe and some of this pain gets unpacked. Things can get a bit messy. But as they unpack, I see among the pain and the messiness that they also bring stories of survival and they bring strength. And when we create a safe and nurturing environment with a good support network, it gives people the motivation and hope they need to make lasting changes in their lives, laying down and leaving behind what is harmful and unhelpful and taking up strengths and new coping skills. That really came to the front when I went to with a tenant to a probation meeting a few months ago, and the probation officer was talking about how this man was leaving behind some of the problematic ways that he had previously reacted to difficult situations, and he was starting to take up and use more positive coping strategies. Hope into Action Portsmouth has been up and running for 7 years now, and we've provided a safe place to live with support to 74 different people over those 7 years. We have 11 houses around the Portsmouth area, and Cosham Baptist Church is partnered with two of those houses. We are so grateful for your commitment to this mission, and particularly for renewing that commitment for another 5-year period, so thank you for that, Simon. Over the last 6 years, thanks to the generosity and support of members of this congregation, we have provided safe housing and a positive support network to empower families escaping from war and persecution in their own country, and for men experiencing homelessness for a variety of reasons, including those recovering from addiction, relationship breakdown, and struggling with mental health issues. The first family we supported moved into their own council property, and I occasionally hear from the daughters who are both working towards going to university soon. Three of the men who we've housed, who were homeless due to relationship breakdown, were able to return to live with family or partners when their relationships improved. And another three are now living in their own council properties. However, we are working with people with complex lives. And healing and recovery isn't quick or straightforward. It's not all been smooth sailing. But the team from this church have shown such care and patience through thick and thin, and they've stuck by our tenants, and it's had a really big impact. One of the people living in the house said recently, "After feeling unsafe for many years, I've found calm and peace in the Hope into Action house." Hope into Action Portsmouth is part of a national network, and across Hope into Action UK, there are now 134 houses, and in the last year, 500 different people were housed by Hope into Action across the country with the support of 115 different church partners. And as a result of this support and God's work in through Hope into Action, our tenants have achieved some amazing outcomes in the last year. 90% reported that their mental health had improved. 86% said their relationships had improved. 53% asked for or accepted prayer. And 86% have got involved in employment, volunteering, or educational training. This is all built on strong partnerships with local churches like this one. And I'll just explain very briefly how that works. So we have a tenant, that's somebody who is homeless or at risk of homelessness for a variety of different reasons. We have investors who lease a property to Hope into Action. And then Hope into Action provide the professional support. We manage tenancy agreements, referral processes, compliance with legal sort of gas safety and all of those sorts of things. And we provide professional support through our team of empowerment workers who meet with each tenant weekly to work on goals which the tenants set for their future. This leaves the church free to do what churches do best, which is to build loving, supportive relationships with our tenants and to surround the whole project in prayer, which is key to everything that we do. So all of our work hinges on these amazing partnerships with churches like this, and it's centered on our desire to work with Jesus, to empower people, to lay down the past and take up new life. If you're interested in finding out how you can support our work, there are different ways of doing that, and I know that there are people here who support us in all sorts of different ways, and we are so grateful for that, so thank you. We do have a need financially to help us meet our costs, and we're really grateful to anyone who's able to give towards that. That could be a one-off donation of £6 to enable us to take a tenant out for a coffee when they're having a bad day, or it could be a regular monthly commitment to support our work. £36 a month, just for example, would help us fund a rent bursary for a tenant who's got into work to help the rent to continue to be affordable while they build resilience for their future and work towards greater independence. Or there might be people here who'd be interested in investing. If you've got a few thousand pounds sitting in a bank account earning money for a big corporation, you might be interested in talking how we could make that money work for Hope into Action through investing in one of our properties. So if that's you, do come and talk to us after the service. We're really hoping to start work on opening a 12th house later this year. So we're keen to talk to people who might be able to help that happen. So financial giving is really great, but the most important thing you can do for us is to pray for us, and we are so grateful for people who commit to pray for us regularly. And you may be a really good person who's just able to remember the things that you need to pray about and do that faithfully without any encouragement. But if you could do with the occasional prompt just to remind you, you can give us your details later and we'll send you out regular prayer updates. We won't spam you with hundreds of emails or messages, but just occasionally a little few things to pray about this week. You can follow us on social media for regular updates about what's going on through our work. And we've also got these bookmarks, which are free to take if you'd like one. You might want to stick it in your Bible, and when you come across it, they're just some little prayer pointers to remind you about things to pray about for us. If you're interested in finding out more about how it all works, we've got some copies of our annual impact report, which has got some stories and statistics about Hope into Action's work across the network. And also, we have, from this church, an amazing team of volunteers. And I'd like to finish now by inviting the volunteers to come up to the front so we can say a big thank you to them and we can pray for them in their work. So is Elizabeth out there? She's hopefully going to come and join us as well. Elizabeth? Do come up on the stage and we'll... So as we heard earlier, Bart is also a key part of this team, but he's not here today, but we will thank him in his absence as well. And we're really excited to have some new volunteers who've done some training yesterday. I think, is there somebody else here who was on the training? Maybe Abraham, would you like to come up? Or you don't have to, that's fine. So this is our amazing, we call it the Friendship and Support Team. That's a team of volunteers from the church who've been trained up and equipped by us to get alongside our tenants and build those transformative relationships with the people living in our houses. So just wanted to say big thank you for the commitment, for the time, for the prayer, for the perseverance and the patience that you've shown through some quite interesting journeys. I'm looking around and thinking about some of the situations that we've all been through together, and your support has made so much difference. And thank you to our new volunteers for starting this journey with us. So let's give them all a big round of applause, shall we? And I'd just like to pray for you, and then I'll sit down and let the rest of the service carry on. Father God, we thank you for our volunteers. We thank you for each of them and the gifts that they bring and the experiences that they bring, and for the time that they commit to this role. We thank you for the love that they share with our tenants, for the patience and the perseverance, for showing up week in, week out when tenants are going through tough times and those relationships can be stretched to the limit at times. And we thank you for the times when there are moments of celebration, when we remember some of the great stories that have happened, some of the amazing changes that have been made in people's lives through the commitment of these volunteers. So we pray for each of them now. We pray as they offer their time and their gifts in your service in this way. We pray that you would bless them and bless our tenants through them as well. Amen. Thank you.